you would continue to be. But we're going to go to Matthew 7. We'll be picking up at verse 7, Matthew 7. And thinking, and Terry passing fits into this, but have you ever found that the outcome side of praying, where you ask for a specific thing to take place, and it doesn't take place? Now, we know that there are other benefits to having a healthy prayer life, right? We know that God gives us peace and comfort, and we know that he strengthens us. We know that it's a great thing to have intimacy with the Lord and be in his presence. But when we think about the outcome side of prayer, where I ask for something and it doesn't happen, how many times do we find ourselves dealing with that I asked for something and it did not happen? And we understand the complexities of, many of us do, that there are different reasons why you ask for something and they do not happen. We know that there are faith issues, there are sin issues. We know that there's other people's sin issues and we live in a fallen world. We understand that there are greater purposes at times that are in conflict with one another. And so we know the complexities of that. And yet, simplistically, and if you look at verse 7, Jesus says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open for you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be open to you. And so even though there's complexities that explain the reasons why we ask for an outcome and it doesn't happen, there is supposed to be still a simplistic faith of, but why didn't it happen? It should happen. Maybe not all the time. Maybe on occasion things don't work out and there's, like I said, there's greater priorities. But when do they happen? Now, when I try to think through both the simplistic and the complex, I think through my hobby of fish keeping. Now, how in the world does fish keeping have to do with the complexities of praying? Well, I decided that I wanted my children to try out some pets, and I wanted to go the less expensive, easier route, and I didn't want to buy a dog because dogs can be pretty expensive, and I'm a softie, and I know that when dogs get older, they cost more money unless you want to put them down because you can have extensive vet bills. And I was like, I'm going to make sure my kids are okay with an animal that's cheap before I get them a dog. So I've on occasion perused through a store where they have fish, and fish aren't that expensive. They're $3, $5. If you've ever looked, they're not that expensive. So like, I'm going to get a pet, a fish, and besides, how difficult could be taking care of fish. You just get a bowl or a tank, you throw some water in there, put the fish in, and you're good, right? Well, after going to the store and getting ready to start this habit, we started 2 years ago, afterwards I found out you need a tank, and you need a substrate, and you need a pump and a filter, and you need various ornaments in there, and you need a heater in there, and there's different things you need in there. And I went to check out, and I was like, this was supposed to be $5. And it was not $5. Now, after you get past the initial stuff, it's not that expensive, but I found that you put water in a tank, and you toss a fish in, and you know what happens 2 days later? The fish is dead. How'd the fish die? He had water. I don't understand how he died. Well, I have discovered that water does not all have the same quality. And there are invisible elements that you can't see. Just like in this room, you know, all of us need air, correct? But we don't survive on the same kinds of air. Right now, there's the right things that we can't see in the air that we can breathe in. But if we filled this room with toxic gas, I don't think we'd be very happy about that. Nor would we respond well, because not all air is the same. So I learned there's nitrates and nitrites, and there's ammonia, and there's all this stuff you can't see that you're supposed to test for. And then there's good bacteria that needs to be in there that takes care of all of that stuff. And then I learned that this fish doesn't get along with this fish. And this fish, if you want them, you got to have five buddies with them. And then I learned this fish likes this temperature. This fish likes this temperature. And then I learned that this fish needs this much space. And I'm like, I wanted to put 30 fish in that tank. Just jam them in there good and tight. And then I figured out they don't get along that well. And so I spent a fair amount of time researching and learning things and then getting mocked by a few people who were like, I don't know why this is so hard for you. It's easy. Just throw a fish in water. I used to have a goldfish through it, and it was fine. I didn't do anything, and it lived forever. If we're honest with it, most of us, if we had goldfish, they didn't live forever. Some of us had them, but they didn't live very long because we just thought you'd throw it in there. And there's a complex. That's why when you've ever gone to the aquarium at the zoo, I don't know if you've admired those different species in there. Boy, the work it must take, the science it must take to take all of those species of life. Fish keeping is complex. It's simple. You just need water and a bowl. But there's some complexities to it. And the same is true with our relationship to what we call prayer. It's simple. You just ask, and it will be given to you. You seek and you knock, and you get the answer. But it's complex in that who would dare raise their hand and say that every single time you asked for a specific outcome, it took place. Now, I know that sometimes we like to ask for healing for our headache, and then a couple minutes later, because we were very patient with God to heal us, we take some aspirin or Tylenol. And then the headache goes away, and we say, praise Jesus, God healed me. Now, when I think of a miracle, that's not what I think about. Now, I know that all good things come from God, but that's not what I think about. Where are the miracles today? Where are the healings? Why is it that I can trust that God will do things for me? And I think some of us have dealt with those issues, and there have been some that have left the faith over them. Some of you have encountered people who said, yeah, I tried faith and religion and that stuff, and I tried to put my trust in God, but nothing happened. You know that saying that if you do the same thing over and over again, that's the definition of insanity? So why would you keep asking and nothing happens? So where's the outcomes that we're expecting? Where are they? Well, I believe that Jesus in Matthew 7 is going to give us some answers to that question. Wouldn't you like to know the answers to that question? But you are sitting in this room because you didn't choose to walk away from the Lord. But I wonder if some of you, though you still trust that he will save you, you still trust that he will get you to heaven, you still trust that he will see you through things, you don't believe that he's going to give you miraculous outcomes to the things you ask for. And you've lost faith in that. And I wonder if that's where Jesus wants us to be, or if he wants us to be in a place that we believe he can give us the outcomes to our prayers. So look with me, Matthew 7. We already read verse 7 and 8 where he says, I'll read it again, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened to you. We can trust that if we ask for something, he will give us what we ask for. But how can I trust? What is it about God that would make me be able to trust that he will give me the outcomes of the things that I'm asking for? Well, he continues. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, and this is where God likes to get complimentary towards us, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? Where's the evidence that God will give us the outcomes of our prayers? Think about the people you love in your life. Do you give them bad things? Do you give them good things? The people in your life that you care about and you want to give them, and you don't just give them what they need, right? You give them what they want. If your wife asks you for something that she doesn't need, but you know it'll make her happy, you don't say, you don't need that. Do you? You give her what she wants because you love her. And Jesus is saying, listen, you who's marred with sin, you who fail all the time, you who are flawed, you who struggle to not be so self-seeking, if you are capable of giving good things to the people you care about, You can't trust that God would do the same thing? Isn't God infinitely more loving than we are? Isn't God infinitely more powerful than we are? But we trust and count on a human being that we know fails us so often. And yet, why can't I trust God that he can do those things? But I wonder if we miss maybe something that's a little more perplexing that is revealed here. And that is that, did you know that you and I are made in the image of God? Now, sometimes that image struggles to get through because of the evil and the sin that's within us. But if you do anything that's like God, you are demonstrating the image of God that he's placed inside of you. You have been wired a certain way. The enemy and us, we've tainted that some, but we have been wired to be like God in character, to behave like God. So when you start to do good things, do you know why you're doing those good things? Because God wired you that way. I want you to think about that for a minute. Why would God wire you to be like him and then not be like the image that he made? Why would he do that? So if you see evidence in your life, whether it's you doing it or other people doing it, you see evidence that there is a creator who created beings to love and do for others the loving things that he would want them to do. Why do we not believe that God wouldn't give us what we ask for? Isn't he more loving than we are? Isn't he the perfect, flawless designer? And you might say, well, the reason why I have a hard time trusting him is because I did ask. I did believe, and it didn't happen. Just like Terry, who had cancer. And there were a lot of people asking for Terry to be healed. And she is, but when we were praying, we weren't just asking for her to go to heaven. If anybody would like for me afterwards, after service, to pray that you would go to heaven today, I'd be glad to do that. Because I don't know if you want to go right this moment. We were praying that she would be physically healed in this life, and that did not happen. And how many times have you experienced things like that where you asked and it did not happen? And like I said, and there is truth to that, that she went to heaven and she's great there. But in our minds, that's not what we were asking for initially. And so why would we keep believing? I know he says he's a loving God. I know he says he will do these things for us. But why would I believe that he will when I ask and I don't receive? Didn't he say, isn't that what that says? Ask and it will not be given to you. Seek and you will not find. Not, it's not in the, maybe that was the message. Some of you will get that joke later. he says, ask and it will be given to you. Why isn't it happening? Now, I noticed when I was going over this the other day that there is a very small two-letter word that follows this that was perplexing to me. You know what that word is? After saying, ask and it will be given to you, and here's how you'll know because you guys do this, and you're evil, and you're able to do this, and your father will do this, and he cares about you, and all of that stuff. Then he says in verse 12, so. Why is that two-letter word so important? Because when you see, anybody was good in literature and grammar and stuff in school? Okay, I don't like you anymore. Just kidding. Was anybody terrible at that in school? Okay, thank you. Thank you, thank you. But if you know grammar, if you see the word so, it's there for a reason. You know why it's there? Because when you say, so-and-so is driving me nuts, so I left and went somewhere else. The reason why you left and went somewhere else, because so-and-so was driving you crazy. Or when I met Heather, she was drop-dead gorgeous. So I asked her to marry me. The reason why I asked her to marry me, drop-dead gorgeous. The so has meaning. So Jesus is saying, ask and it will be given to you. So, and what does he say after that? Listen to this. So, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. What does that have to do with me praying and getting something? What does that have to, me doing something for somebody else, what does that have to do with me asking God to do something for me? Now, perhaps it might have something to do with the idea that if we are living the way he calls us to live, that he will give us what we ask for. Maybe that's what it has to do with. And if that is the case, well, how do I know what I'm supposed to do with other people or for other people? Whatever you wish that others would do for you, do for them. So if you would like somebody, I mean, think about this. When you start talking to someone and interacting with and doing something to them or confronting them or challenging them or being your ornery self and you're starting to do those things, ask yourself, would I like to be on the receiving end of this? And if you would not, you know what you should do? Stop what you're doing. Or if you think, I would really love it if someone would go over there and pick that up for me. Then when you see that there's something that somebody else would like or would need to be picked up and they didn't say it, you go and do what you would want them to do for you. And we start to live this way. What does that have to do with asking the Lord for something and getting the outcome? What sermon are we in? The Sermon on the Mount. Did it just start in Matthew 7, verse 7? No, it was a part of an entire sermon in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And if you remember, he started with the Beatitudes, and he said, you want rewards? Do you want rewards? Live this way. And oh, by the way that you're living is going to give rewards to other people, the kind of rewards that you're wanting. And oh, by the way, then you should be salt and light, and you should do good deeds to other people. And then, oh, by the way, you should evaluate whether or not you're doing it out of love for others or to be seen by others. And oh, by the way, I know that you're concerned about you getting what you want and you getting what you need, but don't worry about that, because we can trust that if we seek first his kingdom, he will give us all of those things. So he's saying, ask, and it will be given to you. If you live within the context of, I am doing to others as I would have them do unto you. You know what's intriguing to me? So many of the things that God wants to bring into our lives, he wants to bring those things into, God wants to bring into my or other people's lives, he wants to bring into their lives through me. And I think sometimes that reality we miss that God is providing and taking care of our needs because he's doing it through other people. And we don't realize that God is answering. I wonder how many times God answered our prayers through somebody else doing the things we were asking for. And then we forget that 2, 3, 5, 8, 10, 15, 20 years ago we were asking for that thing and it showed up through that person. And we forget that God just answered prayer right before my eyes. I appreciate that. Because we are more forgetful than God is. You know what's powerful? You ask for things and you completely forgot that you asked about them. You know who didn't forget about them? God. And you are getting your needs met. Can any of you tell me that none of your needs and none of your wants are being met? Can any of you tell me that you're not getting things that you want in life? Where is that coming from? Did you ask God for that? What did Jesus say? Ask and it will be given to you. Now, unfortunately, he didn't say ask and it will be given to you in 15 seconds. We would love it if that's the way it worked, but it doesn't work that way. But also, remember that part, the complexity, that part of the reason why we are not seeing answers to prayer at times come into fruition in the physical sense is because we live in a fallen world. And because we live in a fallen world, it's not because God's just bringing judgment and condemnation onto us. It's because God handed us the tools, the resources, the ability to make this life, what did he say, on earth as it is in heaven? And it's not saying that we're bringing it into being without any help. It's all of it, all the power, all the ability, all the wisdom. It's coming from God. But we have a choice whether or not to be the salt and light and bring that into fruition. And if we are choosing not to do that, and we look at God and say, you said ask and it will be given to us. Why isn't it happening? And he said, yeah, I did say that. And I said, so do unto others as you would have them do unto you. if we lived in a society in which we all did unto others as God would do, we would want them to do unto us, imagine the peace, the fulfillment, the joy, the flourishing that would take place in life. And we would say, but we're asking God to bring it, and he's not. He did bring it. You just didn't do anything with it. Now I understand in the context of what he's talking about, that if I ask, it will be given to me. Not by just simply saying, because wouldn't you love it if you could just say, Lord, I would like an income. Go get a job. No, not that kind of income. I would just like for checks to just keep showing up in the mail. Yeah, right. No, you need to go apply for work and do some work. No. I just want to stay home and relax. Don't you ever feel like the way the world is, you would just rather just stay at home and not deal with anybody, and you just order everything on Amazon and it just all comes to your house and you never have to deal with anything and you never have to worry about anything because all the money just shows up at your door. And God says, no, I want you to go work. But you said, if I ask, it will be given to me. Yeah, I gave you the ability to work a job. I gave you the ability to manage your money. I gave you the ability to have favor with other people so that you can get the job. I gave you that, and you asked, and it wasn't given to you because you did not do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Inside of you, doesn't he say he places gifts in each one of us? Inside of you, gifts have been given. And do we use those gifts? And if we are not doing that, then I wonder why we're questioning why he's not answering our prayers. He's doing it every day. He's doing it all the time. We're just not utilizing what he's giving us. I want you to think through for a moment what Jesus just described before he gets to this place to ask and it will be given to you. He described an individual in Matthew 5 who sees the big picture, who sees that I'm supposed to live a certain way, and it doesn't just come right back to me immediately. There is a stirring that needs to happen amongst all of us. And a kind of person who's not just going to demand immediate results, but they're going to believe that God's going to bring things to fruition. And a kind of person that decides, I'm going to use what God has given me, and I'm going to be salt, and I'm going to be light, and I'm going to do the works. That kind of person. The kind of person who sees the word of God and doesn't use it to justify their wrong actions. The kind of person who sees the word of God and just doesn't do anything they want to because they see no restrictions in it. But they decide that I'm going to try to purely follow God's word and do it to what it means. Have you ever heard people quote things to you from Scripture and you think, how did you get that from there? Like the judge and you shall not be judged, like we saw last week. So that means you should never confront anybody. Wait a minute, how'd you get that from there? So that means you should never see anything as sin. Wait a minute, how did you get that from there? Because some of us don't turn to the Bible to know how we should live. We turn to the Bible to justify our actions. And we know the scripture so well. And Jesus is calling us to be the kind of person who lives out the meaning of the word of God. And the kind of person who not only does that, but does everything selflessly. Does it just so that they can benefit, just so that God can be given the glory. I don't care if I don't get anything, and I don't mind because Jesus says, blessed are the persecuted. I don't mind if I'm persecuted. I don't mind if I'm never noticed. As long as I'm doing what God wants me to do, that kind of person, boy, he's asking us to be a lot, is he not? And he asks us to not worry about what you and I need, but to trust that God's going to bring it. And then he asks us to understand the difference between the temporal, earthly life and the eternal life, in that, you know, I might have some limitations here, but I know that this is, you know, 100 years is like a speck in the grand scheme of eternity. So what does it matter if for a limited time I struggle when I understand that this isn't what I'm living for? But when you get stressed and when you get worried and when you get anxious and when you get mad, what are you mad about, heaven? No, you're mad about this life. And he's saying, he's calling us to be the kind of person who respects that, works in that, deals with that, but that's not what we're living for. And then he tells us those difficult words of, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And then he tells us how to not judge each other and to live that kind of life. That's a hard life to live. And I think the reason why some of us don't see answers to prayer. Now, does that mean I have to earn answers to prayer? No, it doesn't mean that. God is certainly gracious and merciful enough to throw us a bone at times. Have you ever been falling apart before and you were just a mess and God still granted you answers to your prayers? He's wonderful like that. He's gracious to us. And yet at the same time, he's not going to consistently let you sit in your filth and just expect that the things are going to come to me. But there's a pathway to that. And the question is, you say that you want answers to your prayers, but are you walking down the road that leads to that? Because the road that leads to that is Matthew 5 and Matthew 6 and into Matthew 7. And if you don't believe me that the road traveling to that is difficult and challenging, then why is it that right after the so, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, did you ever notice this line, verse 13? Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Now, we usually quote that when it comes to salvation, and it might include that. But this is right in the context of Jesus saying, ask and it will be given to you. You want to be on the road that leads to the miraculous. You want to be on the road that leads to healing. You want to be on the road that leads to power. Guess what? That road is hard. And like we just reviewed in Matthew 5 and Matthew 6, it's not easy to just be selfless all the time. It's not easy to just focus on the kingdom rather than my needs. It's not easy to do unto others as I would have them do unto me. It's not easy to be pure. It's not easy to not be consumed and worried about the earthly things. It's not easy to be that. Well, there's a reason why we don't see many of the miracles and healings today. Why we don't see the power being demonstrated in amazing ways. Because I wonder how many people are on that road. And you might say, but why didn't God heal me? Why didn't God do this? Why didn't God do that? Which road are you on? Are you on the road that's easy or the road that's hard? And you might say, well, my road's hard because I suffer and I struggle. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, are you making the difficult choices and sacrifices to be who God has called you to be? Are you that? And we might think, and that, you know, we use sports as analogies sometimes because we like sports, at least some of us do. And we think that, and the Bible does that too, doesn't it? The Bible uses athletics as an analogy. And we sometimes think that this life that we're in is a game, it's a sport. And God set up the rules and we're supposed to follow the rules. And if you don't follow the rules, gotcha. Judgment, destruction, heartache. You follow all the rules, blessings. And we think, and this is where some people lose their faith, we think, why would God set up the rules in such a way that if we're misunderstanding a kind of analogy there or maybe the point there? Because it's not really that God designed a game and you're playing the game and you're getting crushed if you fail at the game. You know what it is? It's like the fish aquarium. What does this have to do with the fish aquarium? It's like the fish aquarium in that those fish, they survive because they're designed to be in a certain kind of water and a certain kind of atmosphere. And when they are in the place where they have the nutrients that they were designed to receive, they flourish. Life flourishes. Some of you are wonderful at plants, okay? I'm horrible at plants. People have given us plants and said, this is a plant, it's good. I know you're not good at plants, but this plant cannot die. You know what happens a few days later? It dies. I'm not good at plants because they need certain nutrients. Did you know God made you and I and the earth that we live in? He designed it in such a way that we need nutrients. We need certain elements in our lives in order for life to flourish. And he designed that way because he knew that that would be best for us to be in community and to have shared values and resources. And if we live in that, we have the nutrients. So it's not that you're breaking the rules, so God's getting you. It's because this, right in this space, is where life is. Some people try to understand, why do you have to go to hell if you don't know Jesus? Is he like a jealous husband? Is he like a vindictive person that, like, if you don't like me, fine, I'm going to crush you? No, it's because the things that we need to survive are in Jesus. You can't live without the nutrients and the nourishment that you need. And so if you want to flourish, you have to be in this space. What is this space? This space is being in Christ. This space is living out your life according to God's word. This space is being salt and light. This space is seeking the kingdom of God before your own needs. That is the space. And if we don't live in that space, there's a reason why we're asking and it's not happening. We're seeking, we're not finding. We're knocking, and the door is not opening. And all the while, we're getting mad at God, and he's saying, listen, I showed you, get in this space. In everything you ask. Didn't he just say that in the same sermon? Seek first the kingdom of God. Get in this space, and then all these things will be added to you. He didn't say, well, if you just say a quick 5-minute prayer in the morning, you'll get everything you want. He didn't say if you go to church on Easter Sunday, you'll get everything you want. He didn't say if you read your Bible on occasion, you get everything you want. He said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? Which road are you on this morning? The wide one or the narrow one? Well, it says the wide one is hard or easy and the narrow one is hard. So if that's how I can tell, then I must be on the narrow one because my life has been hard. Anybody care to admit that your life has been hard? Difficult? Challenges? We're not talking about that kind of hard. Has it been difficult for you to live for Jesus? Have you pushed past your flesh and your temptations and what you would really like to do and your fatigue and your tiredness and your focus on yourself and became the kind of person that God has called you to be? Have you made those difficult choices? Or are you on the easy road? There's a reason why we don't see power, victory displayed that the world so desperately needs to see. Because we're on the wide, easy road. And Jesus says, narrow, hard is the way. And so I ask you, as the worship team begins to play, I ask you to evaluate your life not according to how you see the way a follower of Christ should look. To evaluate your life by the way Jesus describes how a follower should look. Are you that? Are you truly seeking out God's word and trying to understand it and living it out according to its meaning, not the way I want it to mean and say, but according to what it actually says? Are you seeking to be pure before him that it doesn't matter if I can't find a verse that tells me I shouldn't do that? If I feel a conviction in my spirit that I shouldn't cross that line, I won't because I want to please him, kind of passion to the Lord. Are you seeking first his kingdom before all other things? Or are you hampered and weighed down by worry and anxiety about how am I going to pay my next bill and how am I going to take care of this and that? Or are you consumed with, I am living for the eternal? What kind of person are you this morning? If there's the slightest adjustment that needs to be made, it needs to be made so that you can get on that narrow road. Because you say you want God to answer your prayers. You say that you want God to do the miraculous and the healing in your life. Then which road are you willing to go down to get it? Well, I don't know if I wanted all that. How much do you want your healing? You see, the people who came to Jesus, some of them pushed through crowds, through the roof when they could barely walk. Some of them decided to dig through the roof of a building just so they can get down to him because nothing was going to stand in their way. Do you want his power displayed in your life? then it's time this morning to come down to this altar and get out of the way anything that is keeping you from having that. Begin to come if you are feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit and lay whatever adjustments before him is needed, and let the Lord begin to help us to get shifted onto that narrow road and become whom God calls us to be, because I need to see his power in me. We need to see his power. The world needs to see his power. Come and seek him this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He went into a certain area, and he could not hardly do any miracles in that area because of the condition of the people that were there. Our condition is very significant before the Lord on what can happen in our lives. And so for just a moment, if you bow your heads and close your eyes with me, every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you'd say, you know, I need my faith built up, struggling the trust, I trust for my salvation. I trust in heaven and going there. But I'm struggling to trust that if I ask, it will be given to me. And I'm asking that the Lord would help me to believe that again. Head bowed and eyes closed, you'd say, that's me. Please pray for me to recover that trust. Anybody else? Good. Anybody else? Just raise your hand and say, that's me. Good. Anybody else? Good. Good. Anybody else? So, Lord, you see these hands. And we're asking that you would help us to recover the trust that we once had in you, to believe that if we ask, it will take place. And we're asking that you would help us to trust you enough that we will live according to the word we just sung about, that we will live according to the word of God, that we will live the life that you've called us to live. And we're believing that you're going to do great and mighty things in us, through us. We ask for this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Now, I want to give a quick disclaimer that anything bad happening in your life does not mean that you're not on the narrow road. All right? So there is suffering and there is difficulties that come. But the more that all of us are pursuing this beatitude-type environment that Jesus calls us to in this pursuit, because think of the disciples. They weren't just sitting around having church by themselves with the apostles and the other Christians. They were going out there and spreading the gospel on a constant basis. They were obsessed over it. And what happened? Miracles all over the place because they sought first his kingdom and his righteousness. So thank you so much for being here this morning. May the Lord continue to do a work in your life. And I hope that you'll be here next week as we continue in Matthew 7, depending on how I'm doing. God bless you. Have a good week.